Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
It is the time of the year when many people will be partying for the season. They probably have been over the weekend and having a fine old time for themselves. But those are the illness of addiction. It's a dangerous couple of weeks, in fact, but the Good Shepherd Centre in Kilkenny does incredible work and helps those very people. And our guests today are going to tell us all about this valuable mission. It's going to be a very positive story, I can promise you, because with us in studio is Catherine White, who's the regional manager of the centre in Kilkenny. Welcome to you, Catherine. And Paddy Jones, who is the embodiment of the redemption story, recovery, I should say, recovery from illness and returning to the community. You're welcome, Paddy.
How are you?
Fresh and well, you're looking. We'll start with you, Paddy, if that's all right with you. Your age is relevant, I think. You're 51. 51 years of age. So bring us back to the stages of your bad old days, I suppose, when you were a young fella. Is that where it starts?
Yeah, it started with drinking anyway. Drinking was always a major thing in my life. You know what I mean? So over the years, then it just progressed. You know what I mean? Drinking got worse. Then went from drink to drugs. Mm-hmm. And then it was just mainly from drugs then. You see, we ended up going to work then, so we had money, got us more drinking.
Well, you had to work, yeah.
Yeah.
And life for you is growing up in Kilkenny City.
Growing up in Kilkenny City, in no jobs, you know what I mean? The whole lot, like, so with the drinking, it costs more responsibility then, you see. I had a daughter at a young age and everything, so was more responsibility. So, yeah.
How young were you when you?
I was 14.
You were 14 when you became a dad.
Yeah,
that's 15, even so. Today that seems extraordinary. But for those days,
back then it was a big thing. Like, I mean, so that was responsibility, and this, I don't know.
Did you? How could you at 14 know the responsibility?
For sure, I was a child having a child. Like, I mean, so that's the way I looked at it. Well, I didn't look at it really.
Can you tell me about yourself when you're a kid? I mean, you must have had hopes and dreams. You must have had interests in life.
Well, see, most of us were hurling. We always hurling for Loughlin's and all. Yeah. I mean, so that was the main thing. Because an uncle of ours was on the Kilkenny team, so we always wanted to be on the hurling.
That makes it famous.
Yeah,
it's like Kilkenny, doesn't it?
I mean, so that was the main thing for us. So after that, then it was mainly just get a job and get on with life. And you know what I mean?
Did you not keep at the hurling?
No, sure. Look, I mean, girls come into play and alcohol, so that was the end of the hurling for us. Like, I mean, so.
Are you drinking at 14?
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean? You're drinking a while.
I was pumped out when I was 7 years of age.
Pumped out, your stomach is pumped.
Yeah.
So
we followed the older lads across the field. We seen them hiding drink. We took their drink. So. That was the start. But like, I didn't drink for a couple of years after that. Like, I mean, but.
And when you're a teenager, how do you have money for drink?
For sure, we'd do anything, collect bottles or do small jobs for people around, cut their grass and.
Right. You know what I mean? Right. Anything to feed them.
Anything, out. Yeah, for sure. You get money. Like, I mean, you get money off your aunties and uncles and all going around. But like, we were always trying to get jobs. We'd go cut timber for people or do their gardens or something like that. There's always, you know what I mean? We'd always make a few quid somewhere. Like.
Do you ever meet people along the way, particularly when you're a teenager, your teenage dad, you're doing these bits and bobs of jobs, you're out of education, I presume.
Yeah.
Is there anyone that you ever meet who kind of tries to take you under their wing or under their arm?
Well, I must have met a few people, I mean, over my life. Like, I mean, there's been a good few people I never even wanted to listen to. Like, I mean, when I was at the younger years, like, I mean, I was a manager of the factory I worked in. Like, I mean, Crotty's in Kilkenny I worked. Like, I mean, as a manager there, Richie Mackey. Like, I'm sorry.
You're a manager
of the factory.
Oh, like, sorry, I mean, the manager would be trying to help you.
Yeah, he'd always trying to help me. Like, I mean,
but I suppose, so, as we know from these stories, you have to know to get the help yourself.
Yeah, for sure. Now, at the moment, I have... I mean, the man in my life is the best man in the world. He's after bringing me to Medjugorje, everything, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
You know what I mean? That's after changing my life around big time, like, I mean, so.
We'll come to how, you know, through your life, Paddy, if that's all right, because I want to bring Catherine here, not to have you sitting there, because this is a familiar story, Catherine, isn't it? The great work you do in the Good Shepherd in Kilkenny.
It is,
and,
yeah.
Like, the teenage years, they're the chaotic time, people's lives become chaotic, but they somehow manage to go through addiction, don't they, without...
They do, I suppose. Look, and I suppose myself and Paddy would often talk about, especially in Ireland, you know, it's the thing of, oh, we'll go for a few drinks or whatever, and it's kind of, you know, that's the way we all are. Everything is kind of associated around, oh, we'll celebrate, we'll go for a drink, we have something on, we'll go for a drink. And I suppose that's fine when you're not somebody who is addicted, but it can very easily lead to an addiction in alcohol, or it can lead to other things such as drugs, gambling, whatever. And I suppose it's the people who you interact with during your teenage years will, you know, have a massive impact on how your life pans out. And I suppose regardless of the support around you, then at times it doesn't really matter if you're not at the stage where you're ready to listen or you're willing to get the help that's there, then unfortunately there isn't a huge amount people can do. But I suppose definitely raising awareness about things and educating people is a massive part of it. And I suppose people like Paddy, who are an inspiration, you know, like we see it all the time. We're so proud of Paddy. We've seen him come from being one of the people where you're going, oh God, is he ever going to change? Is he ever going to listen? And he'll say it himself, like we've had our moments, but we're the kind of people that I suppose we won't give up. And that's what we would always say to everyone is, look, you will try, and like anybody else, you might be on the right path. You'll have a slip. It doesn't matter. We'll pick you back up again. There's always somebody there that can help and support you. And like Paddy is testament to that. He's just...
And the Good Shepherd helps people through addiction, and also there's a housing. You have a sister organisation.
Yeah, so I suppose the Good Shepherd Centre is a homeless emergency accommodation. So that is looking at kind of prevention, you know, kind of meeting people initially and looking at an exit from homelessness. But we also have the entire stock, which is our housing association. It's a specialist housing body. And I suppose with that, we provide long-term accommodation to people. But what's different to us is we don't just provide them with a house. We put the supports in place. We make sure they become part of a community. And like, we work really well with the likes of disability services and mental health services. And we've pilot programs making sure that those people are housed when they might not necessarily fit into a certain criteria for housing in their area. We work with the HSE, and, you know, we have projects where we will give them long-term housing and put the supports in place around them to make sure they can sustain that accommodation and that they are a part of a community, and that it's a home, I suppose. It's not just a house. It's about building a home. And again, on the drive up this morning, myself and Paddy were talking about, you know, he's in his apartment and he was just saying, like, he's buying the curtains, getting the rugs, doing all the finishing touches, that, like, he had the furniture or whatever, but it's the little bits that make it a home.
And you've got your home finally now through Good Shepherd, isn't it?
Yeah, thank God.
Is this the most stable sort of that you've had really since you were a child?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it's to actually go home at the end of the day, like, I mean, and right, this is mine now, you know what I mean? This is, I can make it my own, like, I can go home and I don't have any worry about people coming to my door or anything like that. Like, it's just, I can go in and relax to shut off.
And this is that's the end of the chaos of life that is addiction.
After all that, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so much to me to be able to go home and lay down and just relax. It's just, it's something else. Like, I mean, it's peace of mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's just hard. It's hard to... Well, even sometimes I do have to slap myself in the face. Like, I mean,
this is real.
Yeah, it's just,
okay. And come here to me. Your 20s and 30s were particularly chaotic. Was that the height
blur,
of your...
A blur.
Is it actually a blur?
Most of it, yeah. Most of it.
What were you taking in that period?
From 21 on, it was kind of the heroin and all. You know what I mean? The heroin, crack. And
this is the 90s now.
The 90s was disease and... ease and acid and all.
That was big in the 90s.
Yeah.
Oh, was it easy to get drugs in the 90s in Kilkenny?
Yeah, well, if not, we just travel up to Dublin anyway. Like,
did you do that too?
Yeah, we were always up here.
What would you do? Just get a bus and just wander?
Train, bus, whatever, like, I mean, head up here.
Go ahead, really?
So that was the norm. That was the everything there. I mean, I'd be most days on that bus anyway up here. Like, I mean, so.
You wouldn't be here if you hadn't said to yourself, look, I need to sort things out. Do you remember the first glimmers of that occurring in your head?
I don't know. I remember in the prison cell, and being honest with you, I was I woke up one morning in the guard cell and I was there, oh man, here we go. I mean, not again, like, I mean. And I asked God to help me that day, and that from then on things are changing. And that's being honest with you.
Did you always have a religious faith?
Yeah,
in the background?
Always. Like, I always knew there was a better life, a better something out there, you know what I mean? And just between I know. I never even thought I'd go to Mass, but look, I'm going to Mass and on now, like, I mean.
And it does a great job for you now.
Yeah, like, Medjugorje really opened my eyes then as well. So it's just, there's so much out there in the world I want to see that I couldn't have years ago. And I mean, I never in my wildest dreams, I didn't even think it was possible, but like, I mean. But just a simple prayer, man, and it seems to be changing everything around.
It did take a while, though, didn't it? Because you were in and out of treatment centres.
As I say, Rome wasn't built in a day.
Yeah, well, it's an illness. It's like you do have to follow the...
But all the nagging Catherine used to be doing to me, I never used to pay attention. Like, I mean, I'd be there, ah, she's not again. But then when I go down to my room, I'd sit there, I'd be thinking, like, I mean, about it, and I'd be there, right, she is making sense and all. So even the staff members, they'd be telling me to do this and do that and all, and I'd be there, what? I mean, they're just leave me alone. I just want to go down to my room. Like, I mean,
do you know each other a good while then?
Yeah, so I'm working in the service around 6 years, and like, I'd know Paddy probably from day one in and out, you know, of the service, and like that. Like, he's somebody I've grown very fond of over the years, but there was times where you would have thought, Jesus, is he going to get anywhere? Or are we hitting our heads against brick wall? But like, he's been brilliant, like, in the last number of years before he got, like, permanently housed and everything. You could see a massive change in him. And I suppose once he started engaging with addiction services, and I suppose that's the other thing to say, is it's not just one service, or it's not just, you know, one thing. It's a collective. Like, you know, Paddy was going out, he was going to meetings, he was doing the bits he needed to do, and we were just there as an extra support to keep him going, to give him that bit of hope and kind of say, go on, like, you're on the right track, keep going. If you have a slip, it's grand, get up again, go again, it's fine, don't worry about it. And then, like, we're at the stage now where he's working and he's coming to the centre and he's trying to get people engaged and bring them out and, you know, motivating people. And as I said to him, it's much better him talking to somebody about his life experience, because while I can empathise and I can kind of say, look, you know, this is the path he can take and whatever, Paddy can actually say, I've been that person, I have gone through that. You know, he's a massive inspiration. And I see when he does come down to the centre, you'll see the lads all out having the chat with him. And it's so natural. Like, to be fair, at the start, he didn't even know he was doing it. But the lads look up to Paddy. Do you know what I mean?
I remember
trying to get him playing soccer at one stage, you know, getting him out of the centre, just giving him something to do for the day. And I'd be, come on now, Paddy, if you go, someone else will go. And in fairness to him, like, he wouldn't want to go, but he'd come and he'd be like, my legs are at me. Or, you know, there was always something. He would, like, he gives that bit of inspiration then to the lads. And look, that's all it is. A bit of hope and a bit of being able to see, well, look, that person was in my shoes, and look how far they've come. And I keep saying, like, he should be so proud of himself.
It's great to see when you see people are listening to you. You know what I mean? It is good to see, like, I mean, but I couldn't see that for a while, because for a while I couldn't see it myself, like, I mean.
You didn't believe in yourself.
I didn't believe it, I didn't believe I'd have that effect on people, but it is starting to work, and slowly but surely. But, like, it took me a long, long time. Like, say, I've been up and down them stairs a long, long time. Like, I mean, trying to get clean, trying to get sober. Like, I was just saying to Catherine there, the way I can look back now and say how hard it was to say no. Just to say no.
And I believe the days you're trying to get sober.
Yes,
for years
I couldn't say no.
The access to drugs was even greater.
For years I couldn't say no. I just couldn't. I don't know what it was. But now when I look back, it was so easy to. But at the time, it was just so hard.
Well, it was hard.
Yeah, it was just so hard.
Come here, you mentioned that you spent time in prison.
Yeah.
What did you go in for?
Drugs and drink. Robbing drink and selling drugs, and just being honest with you.
Really? Stealing?
Yeah.
That's how desperately you wanted it?
Yeah, robbing.
How long did you spend in prison?
Well, a few different times, you know what I mean?
So it was in and out, sort of?
Yeah, in and out.
What are those spells like? Are you're in prison sober, I presume?
No, but sure, you brew your own drink in jail, like, I mean, if you wanted it, like, I mean, so... There's ways, man make it, man will break it, you know what I mean?
So, I see what you mean, yeah.
So that's the way it goes. Like, you have to do things to survive in this world, and that's what I was doing, surviving, you know what I mean? You're an addict, you have that addict mentality, so...
Well, you're in prison, you're effectively homeless as well, aren't you, outside of it?
Yeah.
You know, you have responsibilities in the outer world. I mean, you must have been thinking, you know, there's no hope here.
You see, a few of the times when I went into jail and all the whole lot, like, I was thinking, I was just thinking, survive. I was on survival mode in there. That's all I wanted to do, was get out of there as quick as I could, because I wanted to get back to the life.
Back to the party.
Yeah, but then there was times, there coming up to the later years and all, I started listening to a few of the ACOs and, you know what I mean?
What's an ACO?
He's a prison officer, like, I mean.
Yeah.
I started listening because I go to the building skills and all in the Midlands and all. I go working, like, I mean. And I was just by listening to them, and they were talking to us like normal people. And it made me see different things a lot different and made me want to change. And then when I got out, then the lads talking to me different as well. It's just them small things, like, they were all adding up, like, and just like, it kind of brought me back to see that there's a better life out there. And it's possible. It's not just for everyone else. Like,
a message comes in just as you're saying that in addiction there are bad cases, but no hopeless cases.
No.
Absolutely, yeah. That's the biggest thing. There's always hope. And yeah, like, you might feel like it's gone, but there is always someone there that's going to help you. And all you have to do is just ask for the help and accept the help. Sometimes you're not even asking for it and people are trying to give it to you, but you need to be ready to accept it, I think.
That's the way I was for years in the Good Shepherd. Like, I just didn't want to listen. Because I was just caught up in my addiction.
What's the breakthrough for you?
The breakthrough?
I don't know. I think, Paki has just accepted that he needed help and he accepted it and he worked really, really hard. Like, none of this came easy. And I suppose it still is a day by day thing. And as I say, he's doing fantastic now. There is hope there and he is an inspiration to the lads in the centre and hopefully others. And I suppose that's the biggest thing I would say is just, you know, don't give up. And especially like Christmas now, it's going to be a tough time for everyone. We were just saying, you know, especially those in homeless services or those in addiction, it's really tough time. Yeah. But I suppose even to other family members and that, just keep an eye on people. And, you know, if you think someone is struggling, don't be afraid to say it to them. Grand, they might get annoyed with you. Paki was annoyed with me more times than he wasn't. You know what I mean? Yeah. But that's okay. Let them be annoyed, but still offer the help and just be there for them. Mm-hmm.
Someone's messaging saying the time to talk about addiction is January. But that's not the case.
No, absolutely.
Addiction
not.
Is there every day.
It's there.
You know
every
what I mean?
Day.
It's there. Yeah. You know I mean? People might turn their eye up to it, like, I mean, because remember, it's always there. Mm. That person that's sitting on the street there, he's there for a reason. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But Christmas is also the time where, as a society, there's acceptability, isn't there, around being drunk and partying too much. And there are signs there for people. And
Christmas parties are all based around alcohol and, you know, going out and celebrating. So it's tough for anybody in addiction.
So there's a lot of people, too, like, are going to work just to pay their drug bills. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's all they're going to work for.
You've been there in the 90s through, what's the situation like in rural Ireland? This is also a question for you as well, Catherine, in terms of rural Ireland versus the urban areas like Dublin, is the problem just equal now or is it?
I suppose it's similar, but it's a different drug maybe, or it might be more hidden. So there's plenty of people who may be using drugs or alcohol or even might be homeless, but it's hidden in rural Ireland, where like you come to Dublin and you're like, oh, you know, you see people on the street or whatever. It's not necessarily the same, but the problem is still there. The problem is still big. It might be a different drug, you know, like it might be heroin. There's probably less crack than there is, but that depends on the time of year. And it's like we were only saying tablets are massive. Yeah.
Is that ecstasy?
No, just benzos and all.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
So sort of, that's the main thing.
Prescription drugs.
Yeah, prescription drugs. Exactly. Yeah.
I think, Paki, you said in the local papers down in Kilkenny that there's a secret smoking society almost, isn't there?
There's always that. In every town there's that. Like, I mean, they don't want people to know that they're on it, but they're on it.
So somebody upstairs in the house could be smoking heroin or crack.
Yeah.
And the people downstairs have
wouldn't even know because they're gone to bed or whatever, and they'd be smoking it out the window or whatever. Like, and people wouldn't even know. But they're up all night studying or whatever they're doing because that's the excuse that they're telling their family. But they're not. They're wide awake because they're after smoking their drug or out the shed or whatever. Like.
Yeah, and somehow managed to get through the following days. And just, as you say, that's the addicts. You're trying to get day to day.
Day to day.
And sometimes it's easier to hide a drug addiction than alcohol because you can smell the alcohol or you're messier or whatever.
Yes, okay.
So it can be easier to hide.
Because if you're unfamiliar with what someone's acting like or acting like, and their behaviour's going to change over time or whatnot. Yeah. You lost some friends from addiction as well, Paki, over the years.
Yeah, you know I mean, a lot of friends that sat down with me and, like, they all had plans for tomorrow, like, I mean, but they're not here now. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, like, they all had families too, that the, you know what I mean, they're left empty, you know what I mean? Empty. That's the way I look at it. Like, that's just,
thankful to be alive.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, well, there's the place there in the people's homes that their brothers or their sisters are not there anymore. Like, I mean, they're not there anymore over the same thing. They just couldn't say no to this drug or whatever, the drink or whatever it was that happened. Like, I mean, it's just, Because a lot of them was between ODs and suicides, you know what I mean? So,
God almighty, yeah. How is your life today?
Life today, I'm, as I say, I don't really believe it half the time because I have my own place, I have a job, I'm busy as anything, so trying to get back to enjoying my own place is another thing.
What do you work at?
I'm with Kilkenny Leaders Partnership, so as Catherine was saying, I go up and bring the boys from there down to groups and try getting back into society. And
it's a feel-good job.
Yeah, it feels great, actually. It's just, as I said, like to see the look on someone's face when they're actually doing something, enjoying it, and all. They're lovely. We'll be back. And all. That really, I know, it hits your insides. Like, I mean, to see the smile on people's face, that but probably depressed all morning, and just to get out for an hour away from everything and just forget about out there, because I tell them before you go in here, now leave your problems out there, they'll be still there when you come back out, so we go in here to enjoy yourself. So start it off with a joke.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Then get them smiling. And
You're a conjurer of hope.
Well,
that's what you do. You know what I mean? Catherine, you love your job.
Yeah, I do. I would probably be guilty of even interfering in things sometimes that I shouldn't be. So I sometimes forget I'm not a project worker anymore and I try to get into the nitty gritty of things. But I suppose that's why I got into the job. I just love meeting people and working with people and just talking to them. And it's like Paddy said, like talking to him like he's a normal person. He is a normal person. Like the people that come into our service are normal people. They just end up in a difficult situation and for whatever reason they can come from any sort of background. You know, people like often have the misconception, you know, oh, it's the alcoholic or it's the person that's come from a rough family or it's this or it's that. It's absolutely not the case. Like there's people who've come into our service who have worked all their life and just for whatever reason, either relationship breakdown, you know, work injury, whatever, have ended up homeless, maybe in addiction, whatever the case may be, but they are a normal person and I suppose I speak to them the same way I speak to anyone else and I'll do my best to push for them and give them hope. And I suppose that's the message we always try and put out, is there is always hope there.
There is hope. This family, I think, needs a message into us. My brother is so bad at the moment after 5 years sober. He has been drinking for a year, will not accept any help. The doctor won't help because of data protection, will not discuss it with us. He's ruined our family life. We are all at our wits' end. I don't know whether he is dead or alive most of the time. They're the sad stories that you hear all the time. But as you say, you have to try and keep faith in the hope.
He used to want to change himself. He can't change because for years I was trying to change for other people. But it's only for when I wanted to do it for myself, that's when I start working. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'll go into treatment centres for this and go into treatment centres for this person.
For the family outside of it, there's not much they can do, is there?
No. So, like you're not listening to anyone. Like, I mean, because for years I didn't care what was going on around me. You know?
There's another one here that's more hopeful because this is, they say, Saturday the 23rd of January 1999, 20 past 7 in the morning, I stood at the washing machine at home and asked God to help me to live without drink. With his help, I've never had a drink since, after 10 years of addiction. God bless all this wonderful birth of Jesus. The 24th of January is my new birthday now. Do you have a new birthday yourself? Have a date?
New birthday.
It's the day when life begins again, isn't it?
Today I'm going back to Medjugorje.
Big fan of Medjugorje.
Yeah, love it.
The Good Shepherd, it gets some state funding, but also rely on fundraising.
Yeah, absolutely. So we get funded from the HSE and the local authority, but I suppose it doesn't cover, you know, the need that's there for the service users in order for us to, you know, get extra programs in place and do other things. And I suppose even in terms of housing and pilot projects, we do rely heavily on funding. And I suppose, you know, every charity out there is looking for, you know, funds and donations. But I suppose, look, if anyone had anything to give, it's greatly appreciated. And it will be pushed.
12 Doors of Christmas is the campaign.
Yeah, it's our current campaign. Yeah. So it's, I suppose, talking about 12 different stories and the impact of homelessness on each person. And I suppose they're different individual stories and how they became homeless. So you'll see, like I said earlier, anybody can become homeless and they're very different stories. You know, there's men, there's women, there's families. And unfortunately, look, that's the way it is. And they've ended up in homeless services, but we've been able to support them and give them long-term housing and get them, you know, back into the community and living a normal life for themselves and their families.
Great. The Good Shepherd Centre, kilkenny.ie for more details there. So my thanks to Paddy Owens. Continued recovery to you, Paddy, and Catherine Walsh as well from The Good Shepherd. Shepherd Centre in Kilkenny. A happy Christmas to you both.
Thank you. Happy Christmas.